Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Thursday, June 27th. Coming up in today's episode, President Draupadi Murmu's stern stance on NEET paper leak controversy. Delhi courts warning to CBI over Arvind Kejriwal's arrest. ICC faces heat for alleged favoritism and unfair schedule in men's T20 World Cup. And Kenya withdraws tax hike bill after violent protests kill dozens. First up, the NEET paper leak controversy has reached the parliament as President Draupadi Murmu promised strictest punishment to those involved in the leak. Addressing the joint session of the parliament today, President Murmu said, and I quote, "The recent irregularities and paper leaks are being dealt with strongly and government's focus is on improving the exam process," unquote. Adding that as the leaks have happened across multiple states, this issue goes beyond politics. Notably, members of the opposition have been attacking the Bharatiya Janata Party over paper leaks, accusing that these leaks always originate from BJP or NDA-ruled states. Leader of the opposition in Lok Sabha, Rahul Gandhi, called the BJP-ruled states the epicenter of paper leak. The reference was to cops busting a massive paper leak racket for the Uttar Pradesh Police Constable exam. The CBI is tasked with investigating allegations of leaked question papers and criminal gangs, dubbed solver gangs. Multiple arrests from Bihar, Delhi and Maharashtra have been made so far. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has sent a notice to the National Testing Authority over irregularities in the marks. The latest NEET controversy began when results of NEET UG 2024 showed an unusually high number of students, a record, 67, including 6 from one coaching center, scored a perfect 720 in this competitive exam, a first in NEET history. The NTA in a Supreme Court hearing said students were given grace marks to make up for lost time, an explanation which further fueled the anti-NTA student and political protests. The NTA eventually had to scrap the result of 1,563 students. They conducted a retest this week where only 52% of these students showed up. Now, in a petition filed by a learning app alleging exam rigging in the recently conducted NEET UG exams, the top court has demanded answers from NTA by July 8, when the hearing on the matter will take place. The petitioners, represented by the coaching center and other students, argued for students' right to access their OMR sheets. And next, India's entry in the semi-finals of the T20 World Cup may be a cause for celebration for millions. But the organizer of this massive sports contest, ICC, is facing accusations of favoritism and unequal treatment by some. Afghanistan's coach has accused the ICC of unfavorable contest. Afghanistan's heroic run in the T20 World Cup 2024 ended when the team lost to South Africa in Trinidad by 9 wickets. Opting to bat first, Afghanistan could only score 56 runs, the lowest in T20 internationals and also the lowest in the history of T20 World Cup. While Afghanistan had a favorable run so far, even being named giant slayers after defeating Australia in the run-up to the semis, a country which has 6 one-day World Cups and 1 T20 World Cup to its name. Speaking to the media at the press conference after the game, Afghanistan head coach Jonathan Trott highlighted what he called the poor nature of the pitch that was prepared for a clash as big as a World Cup semi-final. Trott said, and I quote, "I don't want to sound a bit like sour grapes, but that's not the pitch you want to have a semi-final of a World Cup on. Plain and simple, it should be a fair contest," unquote. Adding that he's not advocating for a completely flat pitch with no movement or spin, but saying that T20 is all about attacking and scoring runs. The batter shouldn't spend time worrying about moving forward and merely trying to survive. Meanwhile, some have also accused India of having an advantage because of the World Cup schedule. Former England cricketers Michael Warne and David Lloyd even accused the ICC of favouritism by making sure India was the only team to know their semi-final venue, Guyana, and date June 27, even before the tournament started. India was also the only top team to play all day games throughout the tournament. This was done to make sure Indian viewers could watch the entire action at a favorable time. All of India's matches, including the knockout games, have a scheduled 8 p.m. start. Vaughan posted on X, quote, "So Afghanistan qualify for the World Cup semi, winning in St. Vincent on Monday night. 4-hour flight delay on Tuesday to Trinidad with no time to practice or get accustomed to a new venue. Utter lack of respect to players, I am afraid," unquote, and wrote a direct accusation in the next post, quote, "Surely this semi would have been the Guyana one, but because the whole event is geared towards India, it's so unfair on others," unquote. But Indian captain Rohit Sharma denied the questions on this alleged favoritism. Speaking to the press before heading to face England in the World Cup, he said, and I quote, "I don't think it's an advantage. I mean, a lot of these players have played in different types of venues. I'm sure a lot of these English cricketers have played this venue," unquote. However, the match between India and England in Guyana is predicted to be marred by rainfall. In a separate answer, Rohit Sharma said he was worried about even reaching the venue on time if flights were affected due to rain. However, he added, quote, "It's the ICC and Cricket West Indies' headache to get us to the next venue, but we'll focus on how we can play this game well and get the results in our favour," unquote. And next, the CBI should not get overzealous after being granted custody of jailed Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal. A Delhi court warned the probe agency today. The comments came from the special CBI court that denied relief to Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal in the liquor policy case, which also said that on the basis of material on record, it cannot be said at this stage that the arrest is illegal. Mr. Kejriwal has been sent to CBI's custody for 3 days. He was arrested by the CBI inside the Rouse Avenue court during his hearing yesterday. Mr. Kejriwal's counsel, senior advocate Vikram Chaudhary, had stressed that it was not necessary to arrest him at this stage and questioned the timing of the arrest. Quote, "This court has to consider that at this stage the merits of this case. The timing may be circumspect, but it is not clear criterion for declaring an arrest illegal," the court said. Last week, the same court had granted him bail, but the Delhi High Court paused it and reserved its order following the Enforcement Directorate's objection. Mr. Kejriwal moved the Supreme Court but got no relief. The High Court also denied him bail. In its order for a 3-day CBI custody, the Rouse Avenue Court had said, "Investigation is the prerogative of the investigating agency. Quote, there are certain safeguards provided in the law, and at this stage on materials on record, it cannot be said that the arrest is illegal. The agency, however, should not be overzealous," unquote, it added. The Aam Aadmi Party's leader wife Sunita Kejriwal has alleged the whole system is trying to ensure that he stays in jail. Quote, "Arvind Kejriwal got jail on June 20th. Immediately, ED got a stay. The next day, CBI made him an accused, and today he was arrested. The whole system is trying to ensure that the man does not come out of the jail. This is not law. This is dictatorship. This is emergency," unquote, Sunita Kejriwal said in a post on X. Breaking from breaking news, a US cop suspicious of his wife having an affair or an extramarital affair used government surveillance systems to snoop on her and as a result got demoted. In the North Charleston Police Department misused his authority to locate his wife at least 3 times, according to a notice of disciplinary action from the South Carolina Criminal Justice Academy. The authorities got suspicious when he threatened a fellow officer with an arrest, who he suspected was having an affair with his wife. However, during the officer's interview, he also admitted to using security cameras owned by the police department in an attempt to catch his wife cheating on him. Now, back to news. Kenya withdrew a controversial finance bill after it sparked massive outrage and violent protests that killed at least 20. Kenyan President William Ruto said on Wednesday that the bill, which proposed contentious tax hikes, would be withdrawn, dramatically reversing course after more than 20 people were killed in clashes with police and parliament was ransacked by protesters, opposed to the legislation. The initially peaceful demonstrations were sparked last week by the 2024 finance bill, which politicians passed on Tuesday afternoon. But soon the rallies gathered momentum across the country. According to news agency AFP, the protests were mostly driven by younger population, those under the age of 25. But the Gen Z-led protests spiraled into violence on Tuesday when police fired live bullets at the crowds outside the parliament, leaving the complex ransacked and partly on fire. 19 people were killed in the capital, Nairobi, a state-funded rights watchdog said. Ruto held a press briefing and said, quote, "I concede and therefore I will not sign the 2024 finance bill and it shall subsequently be withdrawn. The people have spoken," unquote. However, prominent protester Hanifa Adan dismissed Ruto's announcement as a PR move. Quote, "Tomorrow we march peacefully against as we wear white for all our fallen people. You cannot kill all of us," Adan said. Ruto came to power in 2022 promising to champion the needs of impoverished Kenyans. But tax increase under his government have only made life tougher for those already struggling with high inflation. Ruto's administration is under pressure from IMF, which has urged the country to implement fiscal reforms in order to access funding. And lastly, China has become the first nation to gather samples from the moon's far side after the Chang'e's mission re-entry capsule touched down in Inner Mongolia yesterday. The Chang'e's probe touched down on the moon's south pole Atkin Basin on June 1st, containing 4.4 pounds of rocks and dust, officially known as regolith. The sample return mission has been hailed as a milestone achievement by scientists who eagerly wait what geological secrets the samples may hold. Both China and the US are racing towards exploiting the lunar surface for possible commercial use. That's all for today. You were listening to the News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.